Ecolab can help reduce your company's water usage, lowering your energy consumption. Ecolab Water for Climate, transforming the way the world thinks about water. Learn more at ecolab.com/EWC.
Welcome to Tech News Briefing. It's Tuesday, August 1st. I'm Zoe Thomas for The Wall Street Journal. When Apple introduced screen time controls in 2018, it held the promise of an easy fix for parents looking to monitor how much time their kids spent on devices. But a bug in Apple's system is thwarting those efforts. The iPhone maker says it's working on updates to improve the situation, but in the meantime, parents are left using clunkier methods to limit their children's screen time. Our family and tech columnist Julie Jargon will join us to explain. But first, connected cars are the first focus of California's new privacy regulator. The California Privacy Protection Agency was established in 2020 and is the only regulator in the nation solely dedicated to privacy issues. Its enforcement abilities kicked in last month. The agency plans to look at the growing amount of data collected by smart vehicles and whether the companies gathering it comply with state law. Modern cars can collect a lot of information, from location to driving patterns to listening habits, and it's valuable to a host of industries, including insurance companies, satellite radio providers, and law enforcement, not to mention the car makers themselves. Our reporter Byron Tao has more on what the California agency is looking into.
The main issue is about how it's shared, how it's handled, how it's collected in the first place. There are also concerns about whether consumers are being adequately informed about what data their vehicle is collecting and are able to exercise rights like either opting out or forcing deletion. And then there are other concerns about foreign governments, cybersecurity, hacking. So there's all manner of concerns about the amount of data that a car generates these days.
And an uptick in fires linked to the batteries of electric bikes and scooters has fire departments and owners worried. New York's fire department has reported 220 of these fires this year, up from just 30 in 2019. And in London, the fire brigade says it's responded to this type of blaze every 2 days this year. Our personal tech columnist Nicole Nguyen has been looking into this. Nicole, what's causing these fires?
So lithium-ion batteries, which are the batteries that are in laptops, phones, even electric vehicles, are all susceptible to this type of fire. It's called thermal runaway, and it's what happens when these batteries get too hot. And they can get too hot for a number of reasons. The battery can be damaged. So a lot of these e-bikes have removable batteries that you can pull off and bring up to your apartment to charge. And if you drop them, or if you get into an accident on your e-bike and it's somehow punctured, then the battery can potentially overheat. And overheating causes the materials in the batteries to start to degrade. And those materials in the batteries fuel the flames. And so it's a self-sustaining fire that can't be put out easily with just water. It needs a special type of fire extinguisher to extinguish this type of fire. And other reasons are e-bikes don't have cooling systems, unlike electric vehicles. Electric vehicles are also more protected. A lot of batteries on e-bikes are exposed. Another reason is that electric bikes have smaller batteries than electric vehicles, and so they tend to be charged and discharged more frequently, which adds more stress to the battery. Extreme temperatures also put a lot of stress on your battery. Rad Power, for example, which is one of the largest e-bike manufacturers in North America, recommends charging batteries only at temperatures between 41 and 77 degrees Fahrenheit. So many places, that's a challenge in winter and summer, especially with the kind of extreme heat that's spread across the U.S. this summer.
Nicole, don't you have an electric bike?
Yes, I do. I use my e-bike almost every day for grocery runs and to commute to work. And after reporting the story, I am definitely taking more precautions with it. And I will say that not all e-bikes are created equal. Most e-bikes do not catch fire, but there are these aftermarket batteries that are sold on online marketplaces. And many of those aftermarket batteries do not have the types of safety certifications that batteries from reputable brands do. And because they're so inexpensive, a lot of folks are buying these batteries or these chargers as replacements or secondary additional batteries and mixing and matching the original manufacturer's components with these third-party components is really not a good idea and has been the cause of a lot of these battery fires.
So, what steps should owners of these bikes take to keep themselves safe?
New York recently passed a law that requires all mobility devices, including electrified scooters, which has also been a cause of a number of their own fires, to meet electrical fire and safety standards. This mandate, which takes effect in September, requires all of these vehicles to have a UL certification, Underwriters Laboratory. So if you turn over most batteries or look on the underside of some bikes, you may see a logo, a UL logo that designates that it meets the safety certifications. In other advices, use the original battery and charger, and if you need an extra, stick to the same brand. Don't go off brand. Before you plug in your e-bike, check the battery and the plug for damage. If you smell something bad, or if the battery is bulging, or if you see frayed cables or hear crackling or a hissing sound, then don't charge your e-bike. Take it into a mechanic and dispose of that battery responsibly. And I'd also say that many people charge their e-bikes overnight, typically in a garage. Do not leave your charging e-bike or battery unattended. And I'd say limit charging sessions to 1 hour or 2 hours. Don't keep your e-bike near flammable materials, and definitely don't charge your e-bike or an e-bike battery next to the only exit for your house or the only exit to a room.
That was our personal tech columnist, Nicole Nguyen. Coming up, if your kids didn't mention the screen time limits you placed on their iPhones vanished, you're not alone. We'll tell you about the bug that's causing this when we come back.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Did you know that tens of thousands of German businesses already use Shopify, the all-in-one commerce platform that allows you to start, run, and grow your business? With Shopify, you can set up your online shop in a breeze. No coding or design skills required. Try Shopify for free and present your business idea to the world. Visit shopify.de/podcast23.
Apple's cloud-based family sharing system is designed in part to give parents more control over when and how their kids use devices. Parents can remotely restrict apps and adult content, and set times when kids can't use their iPhones, iPads, or iPod touches. But when parents use their own iPhones to set these limitations, they're finding the changes don't stick. Our family and tech columnist Julie Jargon is here to discuss what's happening. So, Julie, tell us a little bit more about the problem parents are finding with family sharing.
Well, parents are really frustrated because every time they try to set up settings for their kids' devices on their own phones, they find that the settings are not sticking. And sometimes it takes them a couple of days, sometimes weeks, to discover this because the kids aren't exactly raising their hands and saying, "Hey, I've got unlimited screen time." Sometimes parents are tipped off by the fact that they're not receiving requests for more screen time. And so that prompts them to go look into the settings and find that there are no restrictions at all.
What has Apple said about this issue?
Well, back in May, Apple acknowledged the bug when they released iOS 16.5. They reported that they had fixed a bug that had to do with screen time settings resetting or not syncing across all devices. However, it has not actually been fixed because I spoke to a lot of parents and we did our own testing, which shows that even in the latest software update and in the new public beta of iOS 17, these problems are still occurring. So I went to Apple and what they said is that they are aware that some users are experiencing issues with screen time settings unexpectedly resetting. And they said that they take these reports very seriously and will continue making updates to improve the situation.
You've been speaking to parents who've been dealing with this problem. Can you tell us a little bit about their experience in trying to set limits and maybe having this backfire or just not stick for them?
Yeah, the parents I spoke to are really frustrated. Some of them have been reaching out to Apple in recent months and not finding a solution. Some parents have been told to do a factory reset of their phones. They've been trying all these things and hasn't been working. And in some cases, some of the other safety settings, like the little check mark you can enable to restrict adult content on websites, has been turned off. And that has parents concerned that their kids might be coming across inappropriate content while they're online. So I talked to one father in New Jersey who has two kids, ages 10 and 13. He checked their screen time settings and saw that the downtime limits he had established were gone. And some kids have found workarounds to their parents' controls. And in his case, he is certain that his kids did not find some sort of a hack around what he had set up. They didn't know his password, but he changed the passcode just to be sure. And the problem still continued to happen. And so he would go for a couple of weeks and things seemed to be working fine. Other times he said he had to reset the settings two or three times a week.
Yeah, I mean, this may seem obvious to some listeners, I guess, but why is it so important for parents to be able to set these sort of limits?
Well, parents can't monitor what their kids are doing on their devices 24/7. So you want to be able to trust that the time limits you set for your kids to be on their devices and the content restrictions you enable are working properly so that you don't have to constantly be telling your kids it's time to get off your devices and taking them away. That creates a lot of tension in some households. And parents don't want to be the bad guy. If they're setting up times when the device is basically shut off or certain apps are disabled, it really eliminates a lot of those kind of fights, if you will.
Are there workarounds that parents are finding?
One of the things people can do is set the time limits on the kids' devices themselves. That seems to be working. It's worked for me. However, if you have multiple kids or kids with multiple devices, that can be a bit cumbersome. Other parents have found other workarounds, which are also clunky, one of which is to use your router to set a time when the internet shuts off at night. Other parents are turning to third-party apps, which do screen time management on Apple devices. Those can be very expensive. And some parents are deciding to switch to Android devices.
That's our family and tech columnist, Julie Jargon. And that's it for today's Tech News Briefing. If you want more tech stories, check out our website, wsj.com. And if you like our show, please rate and review it. You can do that wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Zoe Thomas for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.